Case number 12-1309 et al., Mississippi Commission on Environmental Quality Petitioner versus Environmental Protection Agency et al., Part A, Issue, EPA's Interpretation of Non-Attainment, argued by Ms. Edge. EPA designation in Utah County, Utah, as unclassifiable, argued by Ms. Cooley. EPA designation of 15 counties as attainment, argued by Mr. Ukiley. EPA designation of DeSoto County, Mississippi, as non-attainment, argued by Ms. Hodges. EPA's response, argued by Ms. Dawson.
All right, we begin with Ms. Edge, arguing the position of Delaware and Connecticut, correct?
Yes. May it please the court? My name is Valerie Edge. I represent Delaware Denrec, and I'm arguing on Connecticut and Delaware's behalf. To understand how badly EPA erred, one has to appreciate the disconnect between Delaware and Connecticut's attainment designations and the state's ability to attain the national ambient air quality standard that the designations trigger. A measurement of non-attainment means the air quality is unhealthy, and the area must apply Clean Air Act statutory provisions to reduce pollution within the non-attainment area. When EPA fails to designate the areas producing the majority of the pollution impacting Delaware and Connecticut as non-attainment, EPA places those areas beyond the reach of the Clean Air Act requirements to reduce pollutions. It places them beyond the non-attainment provisions, and it shields them from the statutorily required reductions necessary for Delaware and Connecticut to attain. In other words, EPA dooms Delaware and Connecticut to fail to attain, subjects about 4.4 million people living within their boundaries to continued exposure to unhealthy air, despite their Delaware and Connecticut taking extensive and expensive efforts to reduce in-state air pollution. EPA's designations, when they are based on erroneous interpretations of the Clean Air Act, thwart the purpose of the statute to achieve healthy air quality, are unreasonable and they're unlawful. Congress explicitly required EPA in the 1990 amendments to disregard political boundaries in the designation process by requiring non-attainment boundaries for more polluted areas to be at least as large as the consolidated metropolitan statistical areas. The Clean Air Act only allows those boundaries to be reduced if an analysis showed that some portion of that consolidated metropolitan statistical area does not contribute negatively to the ambient air quality based on an array of factors. EPA's guidance and process using consolidated metropolitan statistical areas as the largest and only allowing them to be expanded based on those factors is unreasonable, and it turns the statute on its head.
Do you think it's unreasonable to start with the MSA?
No, I don't. As long as EPA is willing to consider including within the non-attainment areas all the areas that contribute to the non-attainment. EPA further consistently misstates and misinterprets the designation statute to require it.
Doesn't it have to be a nearby area according to the statute?
It does, Your Honor, and it should be areas that are nearby enough to significantly or contribute at all to the non-attainment within the boundaries.
You agree the word nearby is ambiguous, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor, this court has held that it's ambiguous, and indeed you're going to hear from Indiana later, who's complaining about a few counties being included as non-attainment when Indiana contributes 2% to Sussex County, Delaware's non-attainment, and yet Sussex County contributes 6%. They're nearby enough to impact our air quality by a third.
What is the furthest state that you want included in the attainment area, in the non-attainment area?
Your Honor, geography is not my forte, and I have a list of the states, but I can't tell you which one.
Tell me the list of the states you think should be included in the area.
If you would give me a moment.
Sure.
The District of Columbia and Maryland, who also requested a large non-attainment boundary, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky.
You want Indiana and Illinois?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you think that that is comes within the meaning of the word? You think it's unreasonable for for EPA to think that Indiana is not nearby to Delaware?
Well, if you're looking at contiguous arguments, all these states are one contiguous block.
Still, could California be nearby?
California is not nearby enough to contribute to Delaware's air quality, so I don't believe it's nearby.
But if it did, would it then be nearby?
The act is written in a manner that it can be construed broadly.
It could be, and we said it, that your position was could be a sensible one, but we're in Chevron step two land here, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the question is not whether your position is reasonable. The question is whether the agency's position is reasonable. Maybe in some other administration, somebody from Delaware might be the head of the EPA, and they might read the word nearby as you do, but that's not the question. The question is whether EPA is unreasonable in its interpretation, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, and what's not reasonable is failing to include areas that contribute 94% to 86% of the pollution that causes our unhealthy air quality. We have a statutory obligation to attain, but the way the statute is structured is to only require the non-attainment reductions from within the non-attainment area. So when EPA refuses to give meaning to that portion of the statute that says include nearby areas, I mean, they didn't even include all of Maryland. There are counties, there's a county 5 miles upwind of that Seaford monitor that's designated as attainment by EPA.
So isn't it inherent in deciding what's nearby that there's going to be, at least there's going to be the possibility that there will be areas that do contribute but that aren't nearby?
And that is, when you get to substantial contribution from areas that are not nearby, that's when you get to the transport provisions. Because the transport provisions, section 126 and 110, are intended to address contribution from areas that are not nearby. And EPA is going to tell you that that's what is supposed to address all contribution. But I have in my hand a request dated December of 2013 asking EPA to expand the ozone transport region, which they have 18 months to respond to and are supposed to take notice and comment on before they respond. And we haven't heard one word, and we have not seen one public notice. And I have in this hand a December 2008 126 petition, which EPA extended its timeline to reply to and then promptly ignored. EPA puts us in a position where we cannot address the non-attainment pollution, yet we're required to attain and we're penalized for failing to attain.
Questions from the bench? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear next from Ms. Cooley from the Environmental Petitioners, right?
Yes.
Particularly on behalf of Wild Earth Guardians.
Yes. May it please the court, Robin Cooley for the Environmental Petitioners. There is no dispute in this case that there is a serious ozone pollution problem in the Uinta Basin. EPA in 2009 required monitoring of this area, and those monitors have shown 3-year averages that are well above the standard that EPA has set to protect public health. EPA has determined that these monitors are reliable and of good quality, and they've insisted that other federal agencies rely on them. But when it came time to make the ozone designations, EPA stuck its head in the sand and ignored what it knows is happening on the ground. And as a result, this highly polluted area is under no legal obligation to come up with a plan to get back into compliance with the Act. And unless this court overturns EPA's decision, that situation will persist indefinitely. I'd like to address...
Can I ask about that?
Sure.
The EPA's brief says that they now have certified monitors in the area. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it won't go on indefinitely. It'll just be till the next cycle. Is that right?
Maybe, maybe not. So under the Clean Air Act, if there is new data and new regulatory data becomes available, EPA may redesignate the area.
That's if you file a redesignation petition or something.
Right.
But then there's
but
also
they don't
the, but there's also the there's also a regular review every, I can't remember how many years, 5 years or something, that has to be done.
I'm not aware of any legal requirement that they review this on a regular basis. So unless EPA changes the standard, in which case there is a three-year time frame that kicks in. And again, EPA is considering changing the standard, but we don't know if they will. And we don't know if EPA will, in fact, redesignate based on the new regulatory monitoring. I'd like to briefly address the two arguments that EPA gave for rejecting this data. And the first is that admittedly reliable data can't be used for a non-attainment designation. And the second is that EPA's post hoc argument that the data is incomplete. So with respect to reliability, EPA is elevating form over substance. These are monitors that EPA itself required, that EPA ensured would be reliable by very specific terms in the consent decrees, and that EPA has in fact concluded are reliable and of good quality. And they're showing violations that are way above the standard. It's not a close call. But EPA hasn't provided any rational explanation for disregarding that data. They've said that not all of the procedural boxes of Part 58 have been checked, and those are the requirements that apply to state monitoring networks. But what they haven't shown is that the lack of those checked boxes in any way calls into question their own conclusion that the data was reliable, or that the lack of these checked boxes demonstrates that the area isn't actually way over the standard. So our position is that EPA can't set such a heightened standard under the Clean Air Act that it defeats Congress's intent by ignoring sound, available information that clearly demonstrates a very real threat to public health. EPA's second argument is that the data is incomplete, and this argument showed up for the first time in their briefs and should be disregarded on that basis alone. It is also inconsistent with their own regulations.
You may be right, but there's a document, JA-2284, where I thought that the EPA set forth this notion that the data is incomplete.
JA-2284. That is their response to our petition for reconsideration.
Gotcha.
And they said, they mentioned that there were 3 years of data, or 26 months of data, but they did not say that that was a reason they were rejecting the data.
So I thought that they made the point at 2284 that quality assurance data is only available for August 2009 through January 2010.
Exactly. That goes back to the point about quality assurance as opposed to whether the data is complete. They were saying there's not enough quality assured data, not that there's not enough total data.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about was the total data. So the argument that it's incomplete is also inconsistent with their regulations, and that this is found at 40 CFR Part 50 Appendix P, and Section 2.3C clearly requires EPA to consider years with less than complete data if the fourth highest value for that year results in an average over 3 years that is above the standard. And that's exactly the situation that we have here. For these reasons, we ask the court to vacate EPA's designation of the Uinta Basin as unclassifiable.
Further questions from the bench? Thank you. We'll hear next from Mr. Euclid for the environmental petitioners, particularly the Sierra Club.
Good morning. May it please the court, Robert Euclid on behalf of Sierra Club. I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal, if I may. Our issue is that there are 15 counties in which 10 million people live, if you include the MSAs, where the data indicates that the air is above the level that EPA believes is safe, yet EPA designated these areas as attainment. in another section of the brief, not the part of the brief talking about our case, EPA says EPA has no discretion as to whether it can designate Newcastle and Sussex counties as non-attainment. The monitors in those counties did not meet the NAAQS. So EPA is admitting that it has no discretion where there are violating NAAQS to designate an area attainment, but that's exactly what it did for the 15 counties that we're concerned with. That no discretion comes from the plain language of the statute, and this court has held the same in the ATK launch case at page 334. So the only way for EPA to get out of this is to claim it's administratively impossible to use the 2009 to 2011 data. It can't claim any claim that it's a policy decision would run into Chevron step one and would be contrary to this court's prior holdings. So in terms of the administratively impossible to do that, we know that that's not the case. And we know that because EPA used the 2009 to 2011 data in doing its designation for Chicago. It was less convenient for EPA, but it's not impossible. And again, in this particular setting, EPA's desire for convenience or for more time to make its decisions isn't permissible because of the plain language of the statute, because EPA admitted it has no discretion because of the prior holding of this case. So EPA makes much of the February 29th, 2012 deadline that it set for submitting the certification for the 2009 to 2011 data. But that date is, again, not to ensure compliance with the statute because it's not 120 days before their decision or even before the district court order deadline. Rather, that date, again, is set for convenience of the agency. Basically, they wanted at least 60 days between getting the data, or sorry, not getting the data, they already had the data, getting the certification and making their final decision. Whereas they could have used 30 days, they could have gotten the certification on May 1st, and made their final decision on May 31st, which is the district court order deadline. But they chose to have the 60 days, and again, they admit that they don't actually have that discretion to use a process that results in areas with violating monitors being designated attainment. I quickly want to address the petition for reconsideration. We filed an administrative petition for reconsideration. EPA denied that. That issue is also on appeal. One of the grounds that EPA provided in its denial of that is that we could go elsewhere, that we could file a petition for rulemaking. I think you alluded to that. So we actually did file that, and EPA denied that, and it's in the Federal Register at 79 FR.
This is for a redesignation, is that what you're talking about?
Correct. We asked that 14 of the 15 counties be redesignated in a petition for administrative rulemaking, and EPA denied that, even though it had told us earlier that was the procedural mechanism.
Yeah, I take it that has not been appealed yet, or has not been appealed at all.
That has not been appealed, correct.
On the reconsideration, are we not stuck with the standard of review that we set out in AT&T Corporation based on the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers? It has to be the clearest abuse of discretion?
Yes, but again, because our issue is a Chevron step one issue, and because at the time of our petition for administrative reconsideration, the data was certified, so EPA's stated reason no longer exists. They have no reason other than that they said that there was this other procedural mechanism, which, you know, then they subsequently deny.
Further questions from the bench? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll now hear from Ms. Hodges, the state and county petitioners on the Mississippi issues.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Donna Hodges. I'm here on behalf of the Commission on Environmental Quality for the state of Mississippi. My director told me that should take about 2 minutes of my time to get that out with my southern drawl. Your Honor, DeSoto County, Mississippi is in a position that's directly opposite to some that you've heard this morning already. DeSoto County is located directly south of the Memphis metropolitan area. And the northern portion of the county was designated as non-attainment. Like some of the other states, particularly in the Chicago metro area, DeSoto County, at the behest of EPA, certified its data early and showed that the monitors in DeSoto County were, in fact, in attainment. In fact, they've always been in attainment. Under the old standard, they were in attainment. Under the new standard, they're in attainment. The emission values continue to trend down. And the monitor under the old data that was out of attainment was in the Fraser monitor in Shelby County, Tennessee. Since that time, Tennessee also designated its data early and showed that that monitor was now in attainment. EPA refused to even consider the newer data, the more sound, newest data certified by Memphis and by Tennessee and by Mississippi. Our position is, Your Honor, that that's different from what they did in Chicago. Now, EPA says it's different there because we used the newest data to find areas in non-attainment versus in attainment. Our position is that's backing into the procedure after you've got the result. And as a regulatory agency, we understand and appreciate the need to...
You're saying they didn't announce that that policy in advance?
What they did was send out letters saying, if you get your data certified early, we can consider it in this process. And it's my understanding in the Chicago area, they sent out letters saying they would use that data, that newer data, in the Chicago metro analysis. It's more, Your Honor, than just saying we think you should declare us in attainment, this portion of DeSoto County in attainment. Even if you don't go that far, there's a step in between, and that is they should have used that data just as they did in the Chicago area. Wisconsin certified its data later, and they used that data in their analysis of the old data to determine who was in attainment and who was not in attainment. They wouldn't even consider that newer data in their analysis in the DeSoto County area.
What about the Arkansas data? I take it there wasn't new data for Arkansas.
Arkansas had not certified their data.
And wasn't there EPA's position that they had to have it from all the states that were within the area?
That's right. That was their position.
Right. So why is that an inappropriate position? So, without having attainment data from Arkansas, they can't conclude that the area is in attainment.
They could conclude, Your Honor, that the area is unclassifiable, and they could use that information in the course of their analysis. And that's significant because the fact that Fraser monitor was in attainment absolutely was the critical piece of evidence that, absent the contrary evidence to find an area in non-attainment, that was the piece of evidence that was critical.
Had you argued before that Mississippi should be unclassifiable? I don't remember.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You said they could have called it it's my fault. You said that it could have been designated as unclassifiable. I don't recall that in the brief. Did you make that argument? I'm not saying you didn't. It's a lot of long briefs here, but I don't remember that being the argument.
I think that what we said, Your Honor, is that they could have made a designation other than non-attainment, which could be attainment or could be unclassifiable attainment.
Ambiguous, just like the word nearby.
Yes, sir. And I'm now well into my rebuttal time. And
if Arkansas had submitted and their data showed non-attainment, then what position would you be taking?
I would take the position that EPA should have done exactly what they did in the Chicago metro area, and that is take a little additional time and apply that newest data to their analysis. It may very well be, and we believe and we understand these facts are not in the record because they didn't do it, so we don't have any analysis for DeSoto County and Shelby County on the Crittenden County. There's a reference to it. We cite some and provided them with some evidence from their some of their analysis in the CARE and CASPER process that showed we didn't impact the Crittenden County monitor, and also an Arkansas study that showed we didn't impact the Crittenden County monitor. Certainly not sufficient to warrant a non-attainment designation.
Are there other questions from the bench? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the EPA. Ms. Dawson.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Elizabeth Dawson, and my co-counsel, Jessica O'Donnell, and I represent the United States Environmental Protection Agency in this matter. We also have Jan Tierney, counsel for EPA, at counsel's table with us. In accordance with this court's order allocating time, I will be responding to the arguments made by Delaware and Connecticut, the Guardians petitioners, Sierra Club, and Mississippi, and my co-counsel will be responding to the arguments made by Indiana, Texas, and the industrial petitioners. Briefly, I will discuss how EPA reasonably interpreted the word nearby when determining the size of areas that should be part of a non-attainment area, how EPA's decision to designate the Uinta Basin as unclassifiable due to the lack of regulatory quality data was in keeping with its guidance and is similarly reasonable, how EPA's setting a cutoff for the submission of early certified data for use in its designations was a practical way to set a uniform standard for a nationwide rulemaking, and finally, how EPA's designation of a portion of DeSoto County as non-attainment was consistent with EPA's monitoring data policy and its five-factor analysis framework.
How do you answer Wild Earth's position with respect to UNITA? By the way, how do you pronounce
UINTA, it? UINTA, believe.
Yeah, about considering years with less than complete data.
Well, Your Honor, there are two different regulations. The regulation that I believe counsel for Wild Earth Guardians was citing was part of Part 50, and the quality assurance and quality certification part is Part 58. So the ability to use incomplete data does not abrogate the need to use quality assured and quality certified data. So even if that part of the regulation that would allow the use of incomplete data had come into effect, it would still have had to have been quality assured and quality certified before EPA would accept it in this rulemaking. Just to give a brief background of the designations process here.
And are the monitors now quality assured in that area?
Well, Your Honor, it is my understanding that the monitors are of regulatory quality. The data itself still has to be quality assured and certified and submitted to EPA each year. And it is my understanding that at the end of this year, EPA will have a full 3 years of data to use.
And at that point, will you consider a petition to redesignate?
EPA considers all petitions that are brought before it. I do not know, however, whether EPA will independently use its discretion to initiate the redesignation process.
Well, I assume their petitioners out here will be interested in filing one. I'm a little concerned about what Sierra Club said about your denial of petition for redesignation in the in their matter. What were the reasons for denying redesignation then, once you had the new information?
Your Honor, it's my understanding that the petition was denied on August 14th of this year. The petition, as far as I understand, was actually brought based not on 2009 to 2011 data, but on 2010 to 2012 data. This reinforces the idea of a never-ending cycle of redesignations. So they petitioned based on 2010 to 2012 data, and while I have not exhaustively studied this response, it's my understanding that the 2013 data indicated that several of those areas were now in attainment. 22 of the 57 areas they petitioned were in attainment for 2013 data, and for the remainder of the areas, they were EPA used its discretion to allow the states to address the non-attainment in the first instance before designating nonattainment.
Can I ask you one question about Delaware and Connecticut? I know
certainly.
We're running around a little bit, but so do you take the position that nearby can't include the states that are suggested should have been included?
In this particular designation, yes, that nearby would not extend to those.
No, but I mean, are you saying that the statute, you couldn't construe the statutory word nearby to encompass those states? Or are you just saying that we've elected not to construe, as a matter of discretion, nearby in that manner?
I think it would be hypothetical at this point for EPA to think of the arguments that might allow it to interpret the word nearby as extending as far west as Missouri or Arkansas. But in previous designations and in this one, EPA has interpreted the term nearby to not extend that far. There are different interpretations EPA could take, and those would be different cases. But here, nearby did not warrant designation that far west. And that also reinforces the point about the transport rule, and that we understand that Delaware and Connecticut have taken issue with EPA's issuance of the transport rule and ability to implement it thus far. But as this court is aware, the transport rule, EPA is ready to implement it at such a time as it is able, and that EPA believes will help ameliorate the transport problems that do affect Delaware and Connecticut and the Eastern Seaboard. I just wanted to make a brief point about the nature of the designations process that EPA faced in this instance. In Catawba County versus EPA, this court determined that EPA's adoption of a multi-factor totality of the circumstances test to implement this statute without a clear threshold was a reasonable approach to the designations process. And EPA used essentially the same process here, and so that should not be in dispute. Here, EPA reviewed submissions and recommendations from all 50 states, several tribes and territories, reviewed air quality data from hundreds of monitors across the country, and ultimately designated 46 areas as nonattainment after preparing detailed technical support documents as well as voluminous.
What do you say to the argument that your 120-day rule wasn't really set at 120 days, and 120 days isn't really required anyway? All it's required is a back-and-forth process. And that knowing that there's non-attainment data and not taking it just for administrative convenience is not consistent with the statute.
Well, Your Honor, first, it seems that Sierra Club misunderstands the 120-day process. The 120-day clock starts when EPA notifies the state of its intended designation decision. So in this instance, EPA had a court deadline of May 31st. To promulgate its designations. Working backwards from there, EPA determined that if it had an indication from the states that it would have certified data by February 29th, it could accept the early data, initiate the 120-day process by issuing its letters of proposed designations, and then once it received the certified data, finalize those designations. It is important to remember here that this is a nationwide rulemaking. And while in one instance, in the instance of Sierra Club's chosen 15 counties, perhaps EPA could have made an exception, it was reasonable for EPA to set a policy and to be consistent with that policy in making a nationwide rulemaking.
Why couldn't it have a consistent policy that if it had certified data showing non-attainment, it would take it, even if it was a little later? That's a consistent policy.
Well, there are a number of consistent policies EPA could have chosen, but it was not unreasonable.
Their argument is that it's a consistent policy that's consistent with the statutory purpose of controlling non-attainment areas, not just any old consistency.
Well, Your Honor,
the argument you're making is it's just consistency, which has sometimes been called the hobgoblin of "we'll continue without."
Certainly. Well, Your Honor, setting the date when it did, EPA had attempted to figure out what was the latest time it could accept that data and still promulgate its designations. When EPA did not have an indication from the states, and including the states that that Sierra Club raises, that it would have that certified data, it could not use that and complete its designations process on time.
When did it get the data?
Well, the deadline for certification is May 1st. It is my understanding that that is not always when EPA does receive the certified data.
When did it get the data that Sierra Club's talking about?
I am not specifically aware of when EPA received the data from the 15 counties.
But it was before May 31st?
I don't know that either, to be honest, Your Honor.
It had to be before.
Yeah.
Well, the deadline...
I don't understand how you can answer this argument without knowing the answer to that question, because...
Well, EPA had the preliminary data in the air quality system. Indeed, that was the data that was submitted. But it based the designations on 2008 to 2010 data. So it didn't use the 2011 data in the designations, even if it was certified by May 1st. And that's Sierra Club's
It was required
criticism.
To be certified by May 31st.
It's required to be certified by May 1st.
Why could it not be used then?
EPA simply did not have enough time between May 1st and the May 31st deadline to receive that data, and especially if it had to change its designation, it would have had to start the 120-day process all over again. Moving briefly just to a quick point about Delaware and Connecticut.
Can I just ask you one? Yeah. I'm just a little confused on that. So it would have had to start the 120-day process all over again, meaning that you didn't have 120 days until May 31st.
Right.
But the February 29th day was already less than 120 days.
That's correct, Your Honor. But with the states that did certify by February 29th, EPA had already had information from those states saying, this is the data that we will be certifying, and so EPA could use that data. EPA did not have that assurance from the rest of the states. It is a bit confusing with the 120-day clock, I understand. But in this instance, EPA the 120-day clock starts when EPA issues its proposed designation. Then the states initiate the iterative process where they can provide additional comments, but then EPA finalizes after 120 days. With regard to Delaware and Connecticut, I would just briefly say that EPA has interpreted nearby for the purposes of the 2008 ozone NAAQS consistent with its past interpretation, an interpretation already approved by this court, and none of Delaware or Connecticut's arguments suggest that that interpretation has become unreasonable. If the court has no further questions about Delaware and Connecticut, I would just make a quick point about the Uinta Basin in that, again, with this nationwide rulemaking, EPA set a uniform standard. In its guidance, it stated what data would be necessary to justify a non-attainment designation, because as other petitioners note here, non-attainment designations do have consequences, and it determined that it needed regulatory quality data, and that simply just was not the case for the Uinta Basin. It was the first time, in fact, that such that data of any quality had been gathered for that area. But as I stated, for these past 3 years now, EPA has been the states have been collecting the regulatory quality data, and EPA will have it going forward.
So is your argument as to that the data actually was poor quality?
Not that it was poor quality, no, simply that EPA set a standard for what the data would be and would need to be for a non-attainment designation, and that data just did not measure up in this instance.
And which exact standard are you talking about?
That it would have to conform to EPA's regulations in Part in 40 CFR Part 50 and 58 regarding the monitoring.
Is it correct that the only way this new data could be considered is in a redesignation petition?
Your Honor, EPA has the discretion to initiate the redesignation process on its own, or states can also, without an independent party filing a petition. With regard to Sierra Club's arguments, again, EPA's determination that to use monitoring data from 2009 to 2011, it must be certified and submitted, was rational and consistently applied. And then finally, moving to Mississippi, for the 2008 ozone NAAQS, EPA maintained its longstanding policy that all monitors in an area must demonstrate attainment for the same three-year period to be designated attainment, but that only one violating monitor would be sufficient to...
Was that policy announced in advance?
Your Honor, it was not specifically laid out in such terms in the guidance, but it was the policy that EPA had applied in the prior ozone designations and in the PM2.5 designations. And EPA is not required to reiterate a policy for each state every time it decides to adhere to it. Here, again, as counsel for Mississippi...
Are you saying from the prior ones, somebody could have looked at those and they would have known that that was your policy? Or?
Yes, and I mean...
So there were actual incidents that put that policy to the test in the way that... this?
No, actually, Your Honor, it had not been ever questioned that it's a common sense policy that EPA would need all of the data from the same period.
The question has been stated in the earlier circumstances that that was the policy.
Your Honor, it has been used as the policy in the
when
prior designation.
Used, then to take Judge Srinivasan's question, someone could look at an example in which it was used in that way?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which example was that?
The prior ozone designations and the PM 2.5 NACs. The sites to that are on page 50 of our brief. Here, as counsel for Mississippi stated, EPA had 2009 to 2011 data for Mississippi and Tennessee, but not for Arkansas. And as Judge Srinivasan pointed out, even had EPA had the data for Arkansas, which the preliminary data showed non-attainment, it would have had to have conducted a contribution analysis to determine whether DeSoto County contributed to Crittenden County monitors non-attainment. But in this instance, EPA neither did not promise the states that it would use the 2009 to 2011 data to designate attainment, even if it had been submitted. It left open the state that the states could provide that data, but it didn't promise that if that data showed attainment, it would automatically be designated attainment. Indeed, EPA would still have to conduct a contribution analysis if a different monitor violated. If the court doesn't have any additional questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I know what the answer to this question is, but has anybody saved any rebuttal time? All right, well, lucky for you, the EPA didn't use all of their time, so we're going to let you have some of theirs. Please confine yourself to 1 minute each, so therefore only answer an argument that EPA itself responded to.
May it please the court, EPA brought up the transport rule. The transport rule was intended to address contribution for the 2008 ozone or the 1997 ozone NACs. It was never been shown even that it will achieve enough reductions for us to attain that standard, let alone the additional reductions needed for the newer standard. Also, the court pointed out that the word nearby is ambiguous, and we looked at the furthest reach of the states. But if you look at the graph on page 5, if you look at the contributions of our brief, our reply brief, the contribution for Sussex County, New Jersey contributes 19%. Maryland, which is right next door, contributes 16%. Pennsylvania, 15%. New Jersey, or New York, 13%. Virginia, 7%. And Ohio, 6%. Those are all equal to or far exceeding the amount that Sussex County includes. Sussex County contributes to its non-attainment, and EPA, even though it can interpret reasonable, it should not be allowed to ignore the directive to include nearby areas that contribute to non-attainment, and that's what they've done. They've completely ignored it. They acknowledge that there are Maryland counties 5 miles away from that monitor in Sussex County contribute to the ambient air quality, which is the standard that EPA also ignores. It consistently refers to contributes to non-attainment. That's not the standard in the statute. It's contributes to the ambient air quality. They admit that they did, and they still designated those counties in Maryland and other large portions of Maryland as attainment or unclassifiable.
Other questions from the bench? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cooley?
Just one response to EPA's statement. EPA is arguing that it needs a uniform standard because non-attainment has significant consequences. And I would just offer two responses. The first is that an unclassifiable designation also has very serious consequences. This is not a decision without consequences for the public health of the people living in the Uinta Basin and the economic impacts of those public health concerns. And the second is that EPA, we're not saying EPA can't set a standard. They can set a standard, but what they can't do is set a standard that's so rigid and inflexible that it defeats Congress's intent by allowing the agency to disregard data that it admits is sound and available at the expense of the public health. Thank you.
From Sierra Club. I'm going to use a little of your time. Could you respond to this argument that they would have had to have started the 120-day process over again?
Yes, Your Honor. That's incorrect, because what they should have done and what they did with Chicago is issue the 120-day letter based on the data that they have, but it's uncertified. And in the 120-day letter, they say that they're intending to designate the area non-attainment based on the data that they have, but it's uncertified. Then the data gets certified by May 1st, and then at that point, if the data still, the certification still supports a non-attainment designation, then they go final with their non-attainment designation. That's consistent with the 120-day letter. If the data, and this extremely rarely happens, but if the data at certification shows that the area should be designated attainment, then they make their final decision to designate the area attainment. They don't have to issue a new 120-day letter because they're doing what the state requested. And they only have to issue a new 120-day letter if they're doing the opposite of what the state requested. So, again, Chicago's kind of the model, but it's incorrect to say that they would have had to issue a new letter. The other point I wanted to address is the petition for redesignation. 12 of the 15 counties still were violating based on 2011 to 2013. So that denial, or that basis for the denial, is not relevant to 12 of the other, or 12 of the 15 areas. And then my final point is that another reason that EPA denied the petition for redesignation is they said that they believe that air quality is going to improve in 2018. And that's based on their analysis, which obviously it's technical analysis, but it involves...
Not only technical, but we don't have it in front of us at all. Right.
Right. So my only point in that is that there'll be a future remedy is that if you look at our standing declarations, there are two Sierra Club members that had to take their children to the hospital because of respiratory problems. So we that deal with air pollution all the time, 2018 may not sound unreasonable, but if you ask a mom or dad that has to take their kid to the hospital because of respiratory problems, 2018 is just completely outside of anything reasonable. Thank you.
Ms. Hodges.
Your Honor, I apologize. I'd left my briefs stuck under the thing here. I wanted to cite for you a footnote in our brief that sets out all the many times that EPA said over and over and over again, if you certify your data early, we will use it. And nowhere did they say that we have this common sense policy that you're supposed to know that we won't use it. And again, it's not just to designate an area non-attainment or just to designate an area attainment. It should be used and could be used and was used in the Chicago area in their analysis, which would determine whether or not there was, in fact, sufficient contribution. And we would submit that that's what they should have done in the DeSoto County case as well.
Questions from the bench? Thank you. All right. I think we're finished with Part A. Is that correct? All right. We're going to take a brief...
B, EPA's designation of Lake and Porter Counties, Indiana, as non-attainment, argued by Mr. Junk. EPA's designation of Wise County, Texas, as non-attainment, argued by Mr. Martella and Mr. Rubenstein, and EPA's response, argued by Ms. O'Donnell.
May it please the Court, I am Tim Junk with the State of Indiana. We're presenting the issue to this Court that when one state in a multi-state area intentionally violates its SIP and in fact causes the lone ozone exceedance in that state, is it unreasonable for EPA to designate portions of the adjacent state as non-attainment and thus require the adjacent state to help remedy the violation. Based upon the 2008-2010 data, all of the air monitors in Northwest Indiana were at 10 to 20% below the ambient air violation level. The entire area and Chicago area was poised to be declared as an attainment area when, surprisingly, in December of 2011, Illinois submitted its 2011 data 5 months earlier than required. As Indiana would later learn, the data showed a lone ozone violation 60 miles away in Zion, Illinois, just one part per billion over the ambient air level that would be allowable. In light of this ozone violation, EPA reversed course on January 31st, 2012, sent a letter to the state indicating that it intended to designate three counties in Indiana as non-attainment. The January 31st, 2012 date is significant because that was exactly 120 days before the Wild Earth deadline in which EPA was required to make the designation. This is being driven by the deadline. With the Wild Earth deadline ticking away, EPA's letter of January 31st acknowledges that Illinois had suddenly created a, quote, unique situation, unquote, in which a state had submitted its monitoring data early and which shows a lone violation of the ambient air standards. This case is also unique because in 2007, Illinois passed statutes which abandoned the vehicle emission testing for cars from 1968 to 1995. Since 1999, Illinois statutes and its state-approved state implementation plan required the testing of older vehicles in order to meet and attain and maintain the ambient air standards. For 4 years after these rogue statutes...
Is the point that, at least one of the points, the Illinois violated its SIP?
Yes.
So isn't there another place where that's supposed to be taken care of, not here?
Well, shame on Illinois, shame on EPA, but our air was in compliance. And our,
what's the process when a state violates its SIP?
Well, I imagine EPA can issue a SIP call and require the state. But EPA didn't do this. They sat back and just watched. And when the inevitable deterioration of air quality occurred, it named everyone in the metro area as in non-attainment. EPA starts its analysis with the metro area presumption, which was specifically authorized by this court in its Catawba decision. And that presumption is good when all the states are playing by the rules and they're acting in compliance. But this case is an outlier because Illinois had intentionally violated its SIP by passing statutes that allowed older cars to be exempted. And we submitted evidence, it's uncontested, our evidence is uncontested, that their statutes were a violation of federal law under the Supremacy Clause, and that the modeling, the only modeling that's available, the modeling shows, and is uncontested, that had Illinois tested the older vehicles, then the air at the Zion Monitor would have been in attainment.
So what would be your standard for us to determine when this rule that you propose kicks in? In other words, you're basing it on some deficiency in the Illinois process.
Yes, I think when there's intentional causation, they should be forced to look at that and not just fall back on the presumptions and fall back on contribution. When there's intentional causation under the notion of cooperative federalism, we should be looking at the party that's not cooperating, not putting more stringent requirements on the party that is cooperating. We've been in compliance. We're saying enforce what's necessary to be enforced in Illinois and make them comply because that's going to address, that is the cause of the ozone violation.
But what would you have us find? In other words, we'd have to make some determination about Illinois' alleged misconduct before we trigger relief.
Yes.
For you.
And I think the problem here is the Wild Earth deadline put everyone under a short time frame. EPA was sandwiched between a deadline and a lot of new submission from Illinois and then from Indiana. And after Indiana's submission, they had less than 6 weeks before they had to make a decision. We suggest remand it to EPA, tell them to make a decision looking at the causation evidence, and in light of the causation evidence, as per page 28 of Catawba, in light of evidence to the contrary, don't rely on the presumption, look at the causation, and make the determination of attainment based on that. Thank you.
We'll hear from Mr. Martella.
May it please the court and good morning. My name is Roger Martello here on behalf of the Wise County petitioners. when EPA makes a non-attainment determination, the test and the framework and the outcome cannot change based on the EPA region where that county happens to be located. This court held in Catawba that EPA must treat similar counties similarly, and EPA violated that principle here by holding Wise County, a county that's downwind 95% of the time, to be non-attainment, versus four other regions that took fundamentally different approaches and would have decided the issue separately. This court held in Catawba that a reasonable approach in the abstract becomes arbitrary when EPA applies it inconsistently across the different regions. And we show the arbitrariness and the inconsistent application in three different ways. First of all, the decision would have been different if it was decided by EPA's regions 3 or region 4. And the most obvious example of this is York County in Pennsylvania. In York County, EPA looked at high split data and found that on exceedance days, the wind was more likely to pass through York County than any other county in the region, and that York County may contribute to violations. It made a similar conclusion for Dauphin County. Region 6 also looked at the high split data for Wise County and found and confirmed TCEQ's assumption that Wise County was upwind about 5% of the time, and that out of 3,900 data points, there were about 7 back trajectories in 5 years. But Region 6 applied a different standard than Region 3 and said the fact that the wind went through Wise County at times was sufficient to hold Wise County in non-attainment, even though for York County, the wind predominantly went through York County and contributed, but was held to be in attainment. So that's
looking at wind alone?
Yes.
And I guess you wouldn't disagree with the proposition that even if you looked at wind alone and you see some sort of tension of the nature that you're describing, that if you looked at other considerations in the multi-factor analysis, that could justify reaching a different conclusion for the two counties.
That's correct, Your Honor. We recognize that EPA is applying a five-factor test, and we have no dispute with applying a five-factor test. The challenge, the concern we have is that they're applying it inconsistently among the regions. EPA says we're balancing all five factors, but if you line up the other four factors, Wise County is as good as, if not better, on each of the other four factors than in every county that we're looking at. So the only factor that's
remained. I thought with the Pennsylvania counties, at least part of the explanation was that you're talking about a different jurisdiction. And there were reasons to treat, I forget which the violating county, it was Lancaster, the violating county is one distinct entity divorced from the two counties you're talking about, whereas in the Wise County, Dallas Metroplex area, there weren't the same considerations that would suggest disaggregating Wise County.
It is true that EPA in the briefs does try to parse some distinctions between the Pennsylvania counties and Wise County, but none of those distinctions are material when you're looking at the five factors. For one thing, for example, they say, well, Wise County, when you compare it to the other Dallas counties, has relatively high emissions. It ranks like number 4, number 5 in some ways. Well, York County is number 1 in that region, and this is an area where the wind is predominantly flowing through York County. So when you really break apart the five-factor test, and this court said you need to do so in the Lemoyne College test, where the court said you can't look at a multi-factor totality of circumstances test as a cloak for agency whim or worse. When you break it down, as we do in the briefs, you see that meteorology is really the only distinguishing factor that has a material difference, and that is where meteorology has been inconsistently applied by the different EPA regions. And another example of that is Region 2. Region 2 looked more at historical meteorological data and looked at two counties that were upwind 5 to 11% of the time.
Which were the counties you're talking about?
Orange County and Cattaraugus counties, Your Honor, and these are in New York. And so Orange County is upwind 11% of the time. Cattaraugus County is upwind 5 to 8% of the time. But for Orange County, EPA held that it was generally not upwind. For Cattaraugus County, it held it was prevailingly downwind. Again, Wise County is 5% as well. If Wise County were in Region 2, it would have been held downwind as well. As a matter of fact, we looked at 9 instances where EPA deemed counties to be in attainment that were upwind more than 20% of the time. So we have this inconsistency in the approaches that EPA is taking.
Another geographic question I thought was that Wise County was just a half a mile away from the violating monitor, while in both of the other circumstances they were considerably further from the monitor.
And as a matter of simple geography and looking at a map, that's true, that the borderline in Wise County is half a mile away from the monitor. It's an argument that's emphasized in the briefs, not so much in the administrative record.
It's a half miles compared to between 50 and 30 miles.
Well, if I can start with the half mile point, the key thing to understand, again, you have to take it back to meteorology. If the monitor is here and Wise County is a half a mile in this direction, what we have to appreciate is looking at it in context is the entire Dallas-Fort Worth area is here. And Texas has shown the winds come from the south and the southeast. Our spaghetti chart on page 23 shows that. So it doesn't matter if it's a half a mile away, if it's a half a mile away in the downwind direction, the point
not
is
always
not contributing.
Down. It's not always in that direction, right?
95% of the time.
Oh, so I suppose it depends on when the 5% occurs.
Yes, and if you look at when the 5% occurs, Texas has shown there were 7 trajectories in 5 years. And again, if we look at the fact going back to York County, the predominant wind direction was from York County, could contribute. The fact that it's a half mile away versus York County, which may be 20 miles away, it demonstrates that EPA is taking an inconsistent application in the way it looks at these issues. The last inconsistency is with EPA Region 5, and this, we've heard a lot of talk about Chicago. This is where Chicago sits. Source apportionment modeling, there were 2 flat-out inconsistencies with the way Region 6 and Region 5 approached source apportionment modeling. First of all, Region 5 in Chicago accepted the data as submitted by the state. Region 6 immediately took the data and manipulated it. But even more importantly than that, Region 5 applied a test that looked at the average contributions from one county to another. Region 6 looked at the maximum contributions from one county to another. If this test had been applied the same in Region 5 and Region 6, the outcome would have been the exact opposite for Wise County.
Question.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear now from the state and county petitioners from Texas and Wise County.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Reed Rubenstein, on behalf of Wise County and the state of Texas. I also note that the county attorney, Thomas Alberg, is here in court with us. What's, I think, become abundantly clear from this morning's argument is that Cass Sunstein was absolutely right when he said that the primary challenge of the regulatory state is excessive discretion and discretionary justice. What happened to Wise County, as the briefs, I think, make clear and as the record makes clear, is absolutely this, discretionary justice. Sunstein says that the solution is to require the rule of law and rule of law principles to operate at the agency level, to require the agency to cabin its own discretion before the fact. Did not happen here. And in the briefs, the EPA says, not now, not here. It has absolute discretion whenever it wants, for any reason or no reason, to override the state of Texas and to conscript the state and the county into the federal bureaucracy under penalty of a loss of $3 billion or more in federal highway funds for roads, transportation, infrastructure, mass transit, to do what EPA wants with respect to this non-attainment determination. What EPA claims, though, is contrary to the controlling authority, Supreme Court and this court. In the briefs, we talked some length about the 10th Amendment and the NFIB decision and how we believe that that controls here. Catawba does afford, as this court has ruled, that the EPA does have discretion to define statutory terms. But Catawba must be read consistently with this court's other precedents, the International Union case, which required OSHA to send OSHA back to define, in effect, its discretion and to cabin its own authority pursuant to a broad statutory grant analogous to the Clean Air Act. And finally, just a word or so about the Information Quality Act, because had EPA been transparent and been accountable, I don't think we'd be in quite the situation we are here, certainly not with Wise County. The IQA is a regulatory Daubert, or a NEPA, as I think we described it in the briefs. The EPA had to comply with OMB's guidance. This court has term the OMB guidelines legislative rules. They were issued pursuant to notice and comment. This was not something EPA could choose to do or not to do. They had to demonstrate compliance, and they did not do so. Reserving the rest of the time, I guess, for rebuttal and any questions the court might have.
Questions from the bench?
Thank you.
We'll hear now from the EPA.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Jessica O'Donnell here today on behalf of EPA. EPA reasonably and consistently applied its multi-factor analysis upheld by this court in Catawba in determining that Lake and Porter counties in Indiana and Wise County in Texas contribute to violations of the 2008 ozone NAAQS in nearby areas.
Can I ask you, what's your response to Indiana's argument that however reasonable this general position is, it becomes unreasonable when faced with a non-attaining state that intentionally is violating its SIP?
Well, I think that with regard to Illinois' contribution, that isn't doesn't negate that Indiana does contribute to violations of the standard.
Can I just ask, is there evidence that if Illinois had not, one question is Illinois violating, did they violate the SIP? And second, if it did, is there evidence that it would be in attainment rather than non-attainment?
Okay, with respect to the first question, Illinois did submit a SIP revision to EPA seeking approval to change its vehicle emission testing program, the program that Indiana says Illinois is violating. Indiana approved that SIP revision, and Indiana EPA just recently approved that SIP revision, allowing those changes in Illinois' vehicle emission testing program to go forward, and so they are not illegal changes. Indiana has challenged EPA's decision, and so that process, that SIP revision process, is another avenue for Indiana and is the appropriate avenue for Indiana to be raising its concerns with EPA about Illinois' compliance with its SIP.
Are you able to answer the question? I don't know whether the record permits it. Answer the question whether had Illinois not changed its motor vehicle rules, it would be in attainment rather than the area would be in attainment rather than.
I don't think there's information in the record showing that had Illinois not changed its vehicle emission testing program, the area would be in attainment. Moreover, the evidence in the record, including evidence that Indiana submitted itself, shows that Indiana contributes to violations of the standard of the 2008 NAAQS at the Zion Monitor.
I got that, but let me ask as a hypothetical. Imagine you had a state which could be in attainment by following the same motor vehicle rules as its neighboring states, but intentionally, I don't mean that in a pejorative, just intentionally decides not to, and that's the only reason that it's in non-attainment. Would that be fair and reasonable for the neighboring state, which is following the stricter rule, to be responsible and therefore be in non-attainment?
Well, with regard to responsibility, the designation process looks at which areas are contributing to the standard, not which areas cause.
I understand you could say that they're contributing, but I'm asking whether it's a reasonable rule under those circumstances when the state that is in itself is in non-attainment is the sole cause by having changed its own rule. I appreciate then another state then becomes part of the cause, but does EPA not consider that at all?
EPA does not consider whether a particular area alone is the sole cause of a violation of the NAAQS. EPA looks at whether areas.
So what's the incentive for us? Why doesn't that give the downwind state an incentive to make it as easy as possible for its industry or its commuting public to cause emissions, knowing that that will be solved by further reducing, by requiring the upwind state to continue to put the squeeze on its commuters, its industry, et cetera?
Well, it's sort of outside the purpose of the designations. The purpose of the designations is to designate or just merely identify those areas that are contributing to the problem. There is another process under the Clean Air Act, the SIP process, which is where EPA determines how much a particular state needs to do to achieve attainment of the NAAQS. And so that is the appropriate process for EPA to be considering how much a particular state or particular area needs to do to bring in and how much it, you know, is responsible for the violations at a particular monitor. But when EPA is designating areas, the purpose is to include all the counties or all the areas that are contributing to that violation.
Can you tell us generally what the reason for approving the lessening of the restrictions on Illinois drivers?
Yes. The EPA determined that the state had provided, and I don't have detailed information about, detailed knowledge, I just learned about this recently, but the state had provided comparable emissions reductions from other sources, and that was the basis for EPA approving the change to Illinois' SIP provision.
Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure. Unless there are further questions on Indiana, I'll move on to the Wise County petitioner's arguments. The primary flaw, I think, of the Wise County petitioner's arguments is that it relies on criticisms of individual factors and comparisons of Wise County to other dissimilar counties in different parts of the country, misunderstanding the nature of EPA's multi-factor contribution analysis, which is driven by a case-by-case analysis of the particular facts and circumstances of each area, and not any one particular factor or any one particular method of analysis. Petitioners fail to recognize that the Wise County area and the Dallas-Fort Worth area is unique. It is not a situation where EPA treated areas in the same region inconsistently or the same parts of the country inconsistently. The Dallas-Fort Worth area has the distinction of being among one of the worst having some of the worst ozone problems in the country. Its design values are higher than most other areas except within California. EPA determined that Wise County is only a half a mile from, as Judge Garland pointed out, only a half a mile from the violating monitor. That often sets the design value for the entire Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that frequently exceeds the NAAQS by 10 parts per billion at a time. EPA also determined that the county is growing and becoming more populous and more connected to the urban core, indicating a greater contribution. And EPA also analyzed meteorology data, which indicated that on those days when the ozone concentrations are at the highest at the nearby violating monitors, the meteorological conditions do allow for transport of emissions from Wise County to the violating monitors. It's based on all of these factors, and I submit that these factors provide a compelling case for the designation of Wise County, or for EPA's conclusion that Wise County contributes to violations in nearby areas. Now, with regard to the industry petitioners' arguments that EPA treated other areas inconsistently, petitioners have not demonstrated that these areas are similarly situated to Wise County. EPA is not arguing that the counties need to be identical, but the facts clearly show that Orange County in New York, York County, and some of the other counties that the industry petitioners mentioned are not similarly situated. None of them are associated with metropolitan areas that experience the same level of ozone problems as the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And none of them is within a half a mile of a violating monitor that exceeds the standard by perhaps 10 parts per billion at a time. With regard to Orange County, petitioners rely on the distinction between EPA's analysis of the historical wind data in Orange County and the EPA's use of high split modeling with regard to Wise County, Texas. EPA fully explained in the administrative record why it thought its use of high split modeling was appropriate with regard to the Wise County area in particular. High split modeling is a method that the EPA has used in its designations process. This court approved its use in the ATK case. In the ozone designations, EPA used the high split modeling in approximately 16 different counties. And in the other counties, it looked more at historical wind data. Some of the time, the data was provided by the states themselves. Some of the time, EPA generated the information. So it is not inconsistent for EPA, or did not apply that methodology to analyze the meteorology factor solely with respect to Wise County. In addition, that wasn't the only factor that EPA relied on. I noted at the beginning of my remarks all the factors that EPA looked at that compelled the conclusion that Wise County should be included as part of the Dallas-Fort Worth non-attainment area. EPA explained that the use of high split was particularly appropriate given the particular facts and circumstances of the Wise County or the Dallas-Fort Worth area. EPA had historical information, meteorological information that it studied, that it had collected. It had the state's submission of its conceptual model of when high ozone days occurred in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a good part of the time, EPA concluded that winds were light and variable on the days where they had the highest ozone concentration. It was in particularly in those circumstances where EPA concluded that the high split model would provide useful information. EPA simply relied on the best information before it, and its analysis of Wise County versus other counties is not inconsistent. I'll next move on to industry petitioner's argument that EPA inconsistently applied source apportionment modeling data with regard to the Wise County as in compared to how EPA used that information in Chicago. I will first point out that EPA in analyzing the designations relies in large part on information submitted by the states. The statute requires states to submit the initial recommended designations, and with that, they typically submit technical analyses that EPA uses in its five-factor analysis. Chicago did not provide the same information on source apportionment modeling that Texas did, and so it was simply impossible for EPA to do the same analysis for both counties. And I can point you to the pages in the administrative record that shows that EPA did not have the same information. The TCEQ data starts on page JA-1475 and goes to page 1483, and the Indiana information starts on JA-1525. What Indiana had provided was simply the average impact predicted by the model for a particular coming from particular source areas. TCEQ had provided EPA with much more detailed information about the model runs that it had done, and EPA did not disregard the information that Texas provided, and it did not apply it inconsistently. It simply, in keeping with its five-factor analysis, evaluated all the information before, and EPA concluded that the source apportionment modeling information that Texas had submitted, as well as all the other information that it considered, indicated that Wise County contributed to violations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What petitioners, particularly the Texas petitioners, would like EPA to do is use particular source apportionment modeling results that the Texas petitioners prefer as a bright line test for whether this area contributes to violations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's inconsistent with EPA's guidance for doing the designations, which sets forth the five-factor contribution analysis. It's also inconsistent with EPA's own guidance that petitioners point to. Petitioners say that EPA's guidance requires a relative approach. That's not, in fact, what the guidance requires. The guidance requires that EPA consider all the information before it in an attainment demonstration and determine what the appropriate weight is for various pieces of information, including modeling information, meteorological information, and weigh it according to its credibility, which is exactly what EPA did here. If there are no further questions,
Are there questions?
Okay. As I said earlier, EPA reasonably and consistently applied its longstanding interpretation of the Clean Air Act to determine which areas attain and which areas do not attain the 2008 ozone NAAQS. Just as this court found in Catawba, EPA's rigorous analysis of all the factors relating to particular areas satisfies its duty of reasoned decision making, and therefore this court should deny all of the petitions and uphold EPA's designations. Thank you.
Let me ask again, is there time from anybody? Okay, now this time EPA ran out the clock. However, since this is not a football game, we will give you each 1 minute and additional 1 minute on top of whatever time Mr. Rubenstein saved.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Tim Junk. I want to make 2 points in response to EPA. First of all, the information is in the record at pages Joint Appendix 1539 to 1542. The very last sentence of that section concludes that had the vehicle emission testing been implemented in oil as appropriate, the Zion monitor would have been in compliance.
Can I just ask about that? This is a very long record, so you can, of course, correct me. I had the impression that that your position was that the Zion monitor would have gone down 0.0002 parts per million, but the Zion monitor was up 0.0004 parts per million. So it would not be, that wouldn't solve the problem.
No, Your Honor, the contribution from the failure to test vehicles was 2 parts per billion.
Yes.
The Zion monitor registered 1 part per billion over. If you subtract the two, you're down below.
What page of the record is that?
Joint Appendix 1539 through 1542, the concluding sentence concludes that the Zion monitor would be in compliance but for the failure to test vehicles in Illinois. The second point I wanted to make, Your Honor, if I may.
Please.
They mentioned the SIP revision, but that all occurs, to my knowledge, that all occurred after these designations were made. And sometime thereafter, 5 years after these rogue statutes were enacted, Illinois has come and asked for a SIP revision. EPA has approved it as of August, and the deadline for appeal was in October this month. It's being taken forward in the Seventh Circuit. But this is all after the fact, trying to correct or allow Illinois to no longer test the vehicle emissions that they were supposed to test since 1999. That was not part of the consideration for the designations.
Just bear with me for 1 second. I just want to check one thing. So at JA 1540, it says that the violation was at 0.0004 parts per million. Not 0.01. And that your 0.00, a lot of O's, 2 parts per million is only half that amount. Is that wrong? I'm not saying this is dispositive, but I do want to figure out what the facts are.
Well, I would have to read this more to respond to your answer, or to answer Your Honor. I would point you to 1542, where the concluding sentence is that if the modeled difference is applied to the current design value for the Zion site, the value would be 73.6 ppb, which would be in compliance with the standard.
Does that include a remodeling based on your views about how well the modeling was done?
Our views about how well the modeling was
done? Yes. Is that based on your view that the modeling was too conservative?
It's the only modeling we have. If EPA had done this or if Illinois had done this properly, they would have submitted modeling saying we don't have to test our older cars anymore. They didn't do the modeling. EPA didn't review the modeling. We had a short time frame in which to do the modeling. We did the only modeling that's available, and our modeling shows that if the model difference is applied to the current design value for the Zion site, the value would be 73.6 part per billion and within compliance of the standard.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Martella.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you for the rebuttal opportunity. EPA says we're ignoring the multi-factor test. Our response to that is that they're invoking it as a cloak. If you actually look at the 5 factors they refer to, it demonstrates exactly our point at every step. Wise County is being treated differently than any other county that the EPA regions that we're looking at have addressed. If you look at the other 4 factors beyond meteorology, Wise County is dwarfed by virtually every other county we're talking about. EPA points to 3 things. that they believe make the difference. Let me point out, first of all, none of these three things are actually the four factors. They're considerations among the four factors. Meteorology is the driver in the decision-making here. The first thing that's mentioned is the growth rate that Wise County is growing, but Wise County still has the lowest population density of any of the counties we've looked at, and they ignore the fact that Texas has indicated that the Wise County emissions are dropping by 25% because of better technologies. The second factor is that Dallas is unique. This exactly makes our point. Catawba holds that EPA is supposed to be applying a consistent methodology among the regions. The fact that Dallas might be unique doesn't enable it to justify holding a county that's downwind 95% of the time when other regions would have said that this should have been an attainment. And then finally, on the half-mile distance point, we did talk about that. An inch is as good as a mile. If it's a half mile in the downwind direction, it doesn't matter if it's a half mile or 20 miles. The fact is the wind is not contributing or flowing in a way that contributes to the non-attainment monitors. Thank you again, Your Honor.
Thank you. Questions from the bench? No. Okay.
Yeah, the black box decision-making, the five-factor test here really is a cloak. Wise County is about 923 square miles in size. Its population is about 59,127 on any given day in the entire county. In terms of vehicle miles traveled, it is about a fraction of a percentage of the total Dallas-Fort Worth area. But what is important and why the reason why EPA admitted that Wise County was deemed non-attainment is because it is part of the Barnett Shale geologic formation and one of America's most important oil and natural gas fields. So there are oil and gas wells there. And there's a lot of fracking that goes on there. And EPA Region 6 Administrator, the one who was forced to resign because he talked about an enforcement strategy that was likened to crucifixion, was a very vocal opponent of fracking and of oil and gas exploration, said it was a threat to the air quality in the United States and all across the globe. And so when EPA changed the way that it handles the scientific analysis and understand that the state of Texas followed EPA's best practices with respect to modeling, source apportionment modeling, with taking data and connecting it up actually to reality as opposed to the absolute values that EPA itself said distort actual performance. And EPA said, no, we're going to go back to the old way that we've told you not to do it in this particular case. It certainly raises a presumption. And all of the other facts that are laid out in copious detail in the brief suggest that there's just something wrong. And the reality that there is something wrong with the decision-making process, again, should not allow the EPA to be able to cloak what it has done behind this five-factor test that it can weigh any way it chooses in any case that it chooses. Because if it can do that, then the regulated community can never know what is or isn't appropriate, what it can or can't do for compliance, and that is just not allowed under the precedence of this court and of the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Questions from the bench? Okay, thank you. I think that was the last speaker, right? We'll take the matter under submission. Thank you very much. Thank you.